Welcome into episode 154 of the Godly Amen podcast. Today we are talking about something that has been on my mind actually a lot. I texted you about it.
You did.
And man, I don't know what it is. Sometimes you see these themes in life where it just comes up over and over, and it's like, okay, how do we get an episode out of this?
The other thing is we'll text each other really fast so we don't forget the idea. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, I want to record on this. Yeah.
And then Will's like, we should do that one. It's like, oh yeah, good call. I did text about that. So yes, we put together an outline, and I think we're calling this being the man of the house. We had a couple different ideas, but I think being the man of the house, when you think of that, if I were to tell you the man of the house, what comes to mind? What connotations?
Charles Ingalls.
Okay.
You know, somebody who is going to go to the front door whenever, you know, burglar comes or something like that. But, you know, I think I think it's different now than kind of the previous era, again, like a Charles Ingalls connotation of it.
Sure. I think Tim the Toolman Taylor, you know, the man of the house, he's big into that, even though we all kind of know, wink, wink, you know, he's not the man of the house. Like, or they, you hear this from the kids, if a dad goes off to on a business trip or tragically, you know, something happens, you're the man of the house now, right?
The
oldest is the man of the house. Like, what does that mean? And so we throw this phrase around. Sometimes it's more of like the man of the house, I got a man cave, I'm the man of my own domain type of thing. Like, I think there can be a bit of a childishness to it. And so what we really wanted to get into, though, is what does it mean to be a man versus a boy? To truly be the man in the house, the man of the house, rather than the boy in the house. And I think that's what I've been seeing a lot of, is where we're getting this off. You have a lot of guys, 30s, 40, even 50 years old, where they're in their home and they don't feel like it's their home, like they're the man of the house. And they would probably gladly tell you they are. Of course,
sure,
I'm the man of the house.
Yeah.
But it's the way that they live, and I think that's what we want to get into.
Well, it's a name only for the most part.
Correct.
And so I think that's one of those things that, for godly young men, it's an underrated part of getting married and having a family, is that you are the man of the house. And I know kind of I gave the trope when we started, but that does mean more than just you go to the door when somebody knocks at night,
right,
or you kill the spider, you know, again, type of stuff like that. There's more to it than that. There's really important things to it. And as we're going to get into, it's very interesting, Joe, we have on our outline what a boy looks like and what a man looks like. And our what a boy looks like list is pretty long. There's a lot of stuff.
Filled it out quite a bit.
Of what it, basically what it doesn't look like to be a man of the house. And so I would just encourage you, golly amen, if you're thinking about marriage, if you're engaged, if you've got a girl you're seriously talking to, maybe if you are newly married or already married, ask yourself, what do I mean, or what do I think when I hear that phrase, man of the house? What does that mean to me? Hopefully we can shed some light on it in this episode.
Yeah, we discussed similar things before. This is more just going to be a side-by-side comparison of, yeah, if you're a boy, if you have not grown into manhood in your own home, this is what it will look like. And so let's just jump into that list. And one that, this is coming from clients, and I'm not trying to call my clients out. I'm certainly not going to use names, anything like that. But I've heard this from a couple clients recently, of them feeling like visitors in their own home.
Like their house is not their house.
Correct. And I've had this three different one, and maybe it's me leading them toward that. I don't know. I try not to lead my clients in similar directions. It's just weird that it's all coming together. And yeah, as you're talking about it, it's like, man, that just seems like something's off. And does this feel like your home? No, I just feel like a visitor in it. And they'll use that phrase as to, they don't really feel like it's their domain. It's their place, their space. They, if I ask them, okay, whose house is it? Well, it's my wife's house, right? I just live in it, is what it feels like. And so, yes, they're the man of the house because they're the man in the house. She's the female, the woman in the house. But as you said, that's just in name only, because they're feeling like a visitor, kind of this outsider that comes in, takes up some space, occasionally helps with some things. They end up hitting burnout when they're helping with chores or whatever, because it's like, well, it's a visitor doing some chores. It's not really my job. It's kind of hers. You know, it's her house. I guess I'll do what she wants me to do. And so it ends up coming less from a place of I'm in charge and helping with this house. It comes from a place of, man, I feel like it's her house and I'm just trying to do something to keep her happy.
I'm curious, Joe, where does that stem from? Because as I think about this idea, and we don't want to spend, you know, 10 minutes on just this first one because we've got a lot on our list, but
sure.
You think about being a visitor in someone's house, even if you know them really well, there's a slight, I'm not going to say uncomfortability, but like slight stiffness, right? Because it's not
sure.
Your house. You don't want to break anything. You don't want to mess anything up. You don't want to spill food at the dinner table. You're on kind of your best behavior, specifically, of course, the less you know the person, right?
Sure.
But there's like, you don't ever fully relax. You don't ever feel fully at home, because it's not your home if you're going to visit somebody's house, right? And so kind of what we're describing is that a husband or a father will come home, and it's that that type of, I can't fully relax, and I can't, there's not that level of comfortability. There's a stiffness. There's a coldness almost. So I was just gonna ask you, like, briefly, where does that stem from? Would you say, from your perspective, people you've talked to, theories on that, thoughts on that?
Sure. We're gonna get into this a little bit later. I'm gonna ask, or you know, what do we do about it, and answer that question.
Sorry, no.
You're all good. You're all good. I'll lay it out here, and then we'll talk about what to do about it. But I really do think it comes down to, there's a concept in therapy of attachment, and it's kind of an infinity sign. And it's like your relationship with your dad, and I think we've talked about it before, but your relationship with your dad will mirror your relationship with yourself, and so kind of on your loop. And as you go around, your relationship with your mom will mirror your relationship with others, with the outside world. And so if you have a real good relationship with your mom but not with your dad, you're really going to struggle on self-esteem, on where do I fit into the home? What's my purpose? What's my value? What's my worth? So a lot of these guys will find it in working hard because their dad's worked really hard, and they find that that's my value in the home. That's my position, is I just work hard. I bring home money. Everything else is pretty much my wife's. Most of the time that speaks to father wounds, where the dad is aloof, not present. He's maybe abusive, something along those lines. And so the kid learns, I don't matter, or the only thing that causes me to matter or be worthy of love is, again, working really hard. And so a lot of these guys are workaholics or something. And it makes them feel like a man, makes them feel like they're, you know, they're doing enough because they're doing their role, rather than recognizing making money is only a part of your role as a man. And yes, it's a very important part. We're not going to say that it's not, but it's also, you sell yourself short. So much of this, I think, in my opinion, goes back to attachment between the father and the son. And then sometimes it's the devouring mother. You know, it's the mom that you always have to keep happy, and you never really feel grounded in the home. The only thing that keeps you grounded is trying to keep mom happy. So that, you know, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. A lot of times that's where these kids grow up, and their job is keep mom happy. Well, who is mom in their life? Their wife. So the wife ends up being a parental figure rather than a marital figure, and you end up trying to please your mom, quote unquote, which is your wife as much as possible, because that's what keeps equilibrium within the home.
Yeah, the status quo.
Yeah.
Let me get into the next one. Yeah. Very much tied to it. And that is, you don't really have or feel like you have anything to do within your home. Maybe you gravitate towards kind of kiddish hobbies, right? Obviously, there's video games, just binge watching stuff. You just plop down on the couch, don't really do anything.
Collecting Funko Pops.
Collecting Funko Pops, of course. How could I leave that one out? definitely boyish things, but like, you don't feel like you have anything to do in your home. You don't contribute to the home. You don't do work around the house. Maybe you don't even, you know, keep up with the yard all that well. And so, Joe, you're the one who put this one down the list. I'm curious what thoughts you would add to this one. But again, there's that idea of like stiffness. Like you get home and, all right, like, what do I do now? And I wonder if this is where you get some of the guys that just work a ton because they don't want to be home. Thoughts on this one though?
Yeah. I mean, I was talking with a guy recently. He's like, I don't even know we moved here. Years ago, I don't know where everything is in the home. He gets home and it's like, it's just kind of his wife's domain. You know, he does his own thing, sticks to himself, has his own stuff, kind of helps the kids where possible.
To be clear, sorry not to cut in front of you, for clarification, I do think the home in general is the wife's domain in the sense of making it a warm and welcoming place and really, I mean, being a homemaker, right? That's a biblical term. And so we're not saying that that is a bad thing. What we're talking about is more so that it is only her space and not the husband.
Right. And it makes it a home for her job is to make it a home for the family. And he doesn't feel it's a home. It's a house to him. He doesn't feel it's a home because he doesn't really know where he belongs. So when he gets home, he doesn't really know what to do. Maybe he helps with the chores a little bit because I guess that's what he's supposed to do. But he doesn't have a good grasp on what the home needs. And so it's like, we're out of toilet paper again. He has no idea. He's not paying attention to any of those things. He doesn't pay attention to how the kids are doing in school. He doesn't pay attention to his wife's emotional needs because he's almost living in a state of fight flight. Like, how do I just keep everybody happy?
Yeah.
And sometimes that lends toward being hyper aware of everybody's emotions, but at other times it leads to completely checked out. It's almost two ends of the spectrum of you're walking on eggshells with everybody in the home, trying to keep everybody happy, or you swing the pendulum to the other side, which is you've completely checked out from everybody. You don't talk to your wife about her day. You don't talk to the kids. You don't know what's going on in the home. You don't know that, you know, the only thing that ends up coming about is, or the only changes you make, the only times that you step into a different role is when your wife begs you to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's another hallmark on here is you struggle to grow apart from what your wife is asking you to do. So you're not really going to read the book. You're not really going to grow spiritually. You're not really going to do any of these things until your wife pushes you enough, or until you're kind of shamed into doing something, in which case, okay, now. Or, you know, the home really needs, you may have a hole in the drywall and it takes everything to fix it. You know, like months go by and your wife finally either hires somebody or your wife does it herself. And it's like, oh, well, you know, at least it got done. That's not leadership in the home. That's not looking at what the home needs and going and meeting that need. It's checking out completely and going, well, it's my wife's home. I don't really have to worry about that. So I think that's another one. Another one we have on here is struggling and disciplining the kids. And I think we see this. I put a couple things down. One of those is constantly pointing to your own struggles. Well, I didn't do that perfect either, you know, when I was a kid. And so you kind of let them slide. And well, you know, I don't know. They're just being kids. I remember when I was a kid, XYZ happened. Yeah. And so you end up making your childhood, you project your childhood into your kid. And it's like, well, your kid is not you. And you hope to have higher expectations than maybe you had or whatever it is. But sometimes you end up projecting your own problems.
Yeah. The thought that I have for this one is, because where we are in the phase of our lives, Joe, is that we have younger kids. I think some of the things you're talking about on here is more so with older kids, of like kind of loose with the curfew, you know, doesn't really know who his kids are talking to from a relationship standpoint. Oh, I didn't even know you were dating somebody type of thing. Like, it's just very, very unplugged. And because they're unplugged, discipline is pretty much out the window. And yeah, this is not somebody who is a man of the house at all.
Right.
The man of the house is somebody who has a, as I think about this in the terms of what I know best, and that is a Chick-fil-A, as somebody who leads the Chick-fil-A where I live, if I were to be in my role and walk in and kind of not really have any idea what was going on, that would not be a great thing, right? Now, that's not to say, obviously, some of the best leaders make sure that other people are, they delegate well.
Delegation,
right? Delegation has a negative connotation. That's a very good thing.
No doubt.
But I as the leader still need to have a very strong pulse on what is going on, what new seasonal items are coming out, what, you know, what happened the other XYZ time, or like just keeping a good pulse, I guess is all I should say. If I wasn't doing that, I would be a pretty, stuff would fall apart pretty quickly. In the same way in the home, if you as a dad basically have no pulse of what's going on with your kids, oh man, they're failing that class, I didn't even know that type of thing, right?
Right.
Or again, man, they did what with what person? I didn't even know they were dating. Like, wrong move. That is not a man of the house, specifically when discipline is something that is only done by the mom, by the wife, because you're just too unplugged. Again, typically more so for, I would imagine, applying to older children here, but it can apply to younger children as well. What are your thoughts on, because one of the things my wife has brought up before is that it's very difficult. We're gone all day, right? Or working, come home. She has been disciplining all day long. It's now my turn. Well, again, younger kid-wise, I don't want to just come in and immediately start disciplining, right? Because then I'm the bad guy.
That's
right?
Tough.
And I know we didn't necessarily want to get into, we can do a discipline episode. Have we done a discipline episode?
I don't know.
Add to the list.
There you go. I don't think we
have. Anyway, what are your thoughts on that dynamic?
That's
kind of where we are with young kids. Obviously, the discipline hopefully gets less once you get to teenage years. But
yeah, no, I think that's exactly it. I think I wouldn't add much more. I think you stated it well. I think what you see specifically with the boy is wanting to just be friends. You know,
yeah.
So as they get older, they don't want to take as harsh of a tone. They don't really want to call them to a high standard. They do make a lot of excuses. And so much of the time, it's like, I just want to be their buddy. I want to be their friend. I don't want to come down hard on them because, boy, once again, I know what I would have done if I was that age. Like, they're not you, and you're the parent, and you're not their buddy. You're not their friend. And so you see that. But I do think this becomes, as we're talking about what a boy looks like, it becomes that much more pronounced, to your point. As you get older, younger kids, it's tough. But as you get older, there's that. That's gonna be an interesting episode on the discipline one, because I can very much resonate with, like, that's one of my least favorite things is, and my wife and I, we talked about this, and she's really good at this now, because there for a little while, you know, you walk inside and it's like, this is taking place, you need to go handle it.
It's like, I just walked in.
I want to hug my kids. I want to kiss them. I want to go play with them for a second, you know, whatever it may be, before I go dish out some discipline. I don't really want to do that. And so we had that conversation of, please don't leave the difficult ones. Handle it while I'm gone. When I come in, I want to just be able to do that. I have no problem disciplining my kids, but like if the first thing every day is storing up wrath for dad to come in, they're going to start resenting
like Darth
dad.
Vader when you
exactly.
walk in.
And I, let's save that.
We'll
that's
save
gonna,
it.
That's going to be a good episode.
So get into the next one, Joe.
Yeah.
And I'll get into the one after that.
Yeah. This one is a big one. Boys in the home, if you're not a man in the home, you're scared of making mistakes. you're scared, you're walking on eggshells constantly.
Again, the visitor thing. I don't want to break anything, basically.
Correct. Yeah. I don't want to break. It's like, this isn't my home, you know? And so I want to make sure that I'm not making these mistakes, getting in trouble, and really you're afraid of the consequences. And specifically, if you have made your wife your mom, you're afraid of the consequences of her taking things away. And sometimes in a marriage sense, it might be sex, or it might be, you know, you sleep on the couch or whatever it is. So you
just
find
general
yourself
happiness in the home.
Correct.
Taken away.
You find yourself in the doghouse. You find yourself in you know, in trouble a lot of the time. And so you're constantly skittish. You're constantly worried about, man, did I make a mistake? Did I say this wrong? Walking on eggshells around your wife or around your kids because you don't want to upset the peace.
Yeah.
You set the cultural tone in the home. Like, what are you talking about upsetting the peace? That should come from you. You should be the one that's providing the peace. And instead, you're just hoping not to break the peace. And that's a big problem between breaking something, as you said, as a visitor in the home. It's like, that's my vase. I'm not worried about breaking it. It's mine. I'm the one that bought it. So I don't worry about breaking somebody else's vase in the house. Like, it, you know what I mean? There's an ownership level.
And I'm going to go ahead and bring in the next one. Because I think it's very tied to that. It's a godly young men staple. Talk about this all the time. If you're not the man in the house, then you allow the culture in your home to be set by somebody else. Your wife, your kids as they get older. You are a follower of the culture instead of the culture setter, right?
Yeah, the trendsetter.
The trendsetter. A boy in the house, somebody who's not a man in the house, again, basically your wife's mood dictates the mood of the house. Whatever your kids want to do, whatever the, you know, again, maybe the mood of your kids, that's the tone of the house. You just kind of follow along. That is not at all what a man does. We've talked so much about the idea that men need to be culture setters from the dawn of existence. They have been. Plus, biblically speaking, great men who set great cultures are what brings about great change and change for Christ and following along with that within your own family. If you don't know how to set the culture, man, it's going to create some problems. It's
no
because
doubt.
There's going to be a void of leadership, a void of culture setting that someone is going to fill. And the problem with your wife filling it is she wasn't designed to do that.
Correct.
The problem with your kids doing it is that's not the pattern God laid. God did not lay out the pattern for the family's culture to be set by the children. Absolutely not. And so by you vacating that, somebody else is going to, and it's going to be the wrong option because that's not the way that God designed
Correct.
It.
Yeah, she ends up making most of the decisions. If you're the boy, you gladly let her. You just step back and it's like,
whatever, you know, again, yeah,
whatever you think, honey.
Yep, exactly.
And
I'm
a lot of
making
time,
decisions.
Yeah. A lot of times it goes toward the apathy. Oh, I don't care. I don't care. Because it's more manly to say, I don't care than I'm too scared to care. And I think that's a big problem with a lot of the boys in the home is, well, whatever you think, doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter. Like, something has to matter to you.
Yeah.
It's important. Your wife wants things to matter to her because, to your point, it's a scary place for her to be. If she's having to take the leadership in the home all the time, then, and making all the decisions, the buck stops with her.
Yeah.
And she's worried about that, and that doesn't create safety. That doesn't create, you know, this support system internally that you're supposed to provide for your wife, this security that she's craving. Instead, she's the one making the decisions, and you're just the scared boy on the back end who either gets to criticize her decisions or go, I don't care, you know, you just make it for me. That's not leadership. That doesn't mean you have to care about everything that your wife cares about, but it means you need to have a pulse on why this matters to her and why you should care, and then have a say on it. And even if it's backing her, I think that's a great idea. I think you know, good call. I fully agree with you. I think that's fantastic. Right. That's good. I don't care, whatever you want. That tells her that what she hears in that is, yeah, I don't care what you do, what you want. You know, just go do what you want. That's not connection. That's not love. That's not attunement. That's not leadership. That's not the things that we're espousing here. That is the boy who steps back and is afraid of making these decisions lest he get in trouble.
Well, and just to clarify, we're not talking necessarily about the what do you want for dinner type decisions, right?
Right.
I mean, me and my wife have a running joke. She actually called me on the way. She's coming over. We're going to have dinner with Joe and Alyssa. It's going to be a great time tonight. But she called me and, you know, what should I bring for dessert tonight? And there are times she sometimes will catch, obviously, like, again, man of the house, sure, throw out what you, hey, have you thought about this? You want to do this? But man, she'll catch me at times where it's like, I have been making decisions for 140 employees all day long. I really just need you to handle this one. I don't care. Right.
Yep.
We're not talking about those types of decisions. Right. We're talking about, you know, some of the more weighty, I guess you might say, decisions. And not that every decision is a life-changing decision, but again, just to use my wife as an example, most of the time she doesn't want to make the decision. That is what the husband is supposed to do. And so not to, you know, get off necessarily on that, but you kind of are supposed to be a decision maker.
But I think it's valuable. And I will say this, if you find that nothing matters to you,
that's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's all small. If everything is small to you, small potatoes, and you'll hardly anything until like death is on the line, you know, that's the only time that you start to care about something. You need to take a step back and wonder why that is. To your point, it doesn't have to be every last thing, what's for dinner, things like that. But something has to matter to you. And so put your input, and that's the culture setting. The other thing we have on here, we'll wrap up the boy part and then get to the man part. You don't want to let the parental figure down. Your wife is the parental figure, and so you really are trying to get her praise. You're trying to get her accolades. You're trying to get yourself away from the consequences and the negativity and the discipline, quote-unquote, of this parental figure, which you've made your wife out to be. But now you're craving her, you know, yeah, you want the respect, but it's less from a, it's almost a performative way to get the respect. Rather than assuming you already have it because you're the man of the house, It's like, I've got to just earn this and hope that mom will think that I'm something. She's your wife. You being the man of the house, you making the money, you taking care of her and the kids and providing that life, that is worthy of respect. And you trying to be a man of God is worthy of respect. So looking at it as I have to have my parental figure's respect in order to be something, no, you got to respect yourself. You get the respect from God. You get that headship from God. He's the one that's telling you that. And so you are the parental figure in this situation. And no, not over your wife as though your wife is a child. But in terms of both of you are parents, maybe you don't have kids yet, but both of you are equal in this relationship to that degree, and you're her head. So from that equality standpoint, you are her, you know, you are not equal. You know, she's supposed to be down here. You're supposed to be able to help her in every single way possible that you can to call her unto Christ and to call her to her position. But man, I think this one really goes down when you start viewing her as the parental figure.
I've got one more big one I want to add, and that is the man. If you're not the man in the house, then you don't have any goals. You don't have any vision. Mm-hmm. We just had our goal setting episode. Obviously, we're in a new year. I know my mind is on it a lot. I love this time of year of just vision casting, goal setting, and getting into routine and all those things. If you're the boy in the house, not the man in the house, you don't really care about any of that.
Right.
And because of that, I put on here, like, the house just lacks productivity. Like, there's just it's just kind of a place where people come to sleep, and there's just not really a lot getting done. Maybe yard is, the home is the wife's domain, but my point is, like, the productivity of the home, in my opinion, is driven by the husband. If you're somebody who just comes home and sits on the couch, your wife and kids are going to, in some ways, kind of mirror that, right? Because they're going to see you as their example. Again, culture setting. But the man of the, if you're not the man of the house, you know, you're like, goals, I don't have any goals, vision, right? You're talking about vision for your kids or for your family or for your finances, all these different areas. If you're like, no idea, you're probably not the man of the house. That's kind of why we're talking about
it. And if your wife is the one having to do it, once again, it's a place of unsafety for her. She's got to be the, you know, larger in charge. And it's also I think it's a scary place for her. I was thinking about, sorry, my computer screen just went black. No, you're good. Let me make sure we're still recording. There we go. But this idea of sitting there and kind of being lazy when you come home, if your wife isn't the type, if the kids don't go along with that and the wife doesn't go along with that and she's the one that is carrying your slack, that's also going to burn her out and she's going to be very upset with you. Like, man, I'm always the one that's having to do this. There's resentment that's built because you aren't setting a good culture. You don't have the goals, the vision. And the last one I'll have is that I have on this is you still have the faith, spiritually speaking, you still have the faith of your parents or you have the faith of your wife. That's a sign of being the boy in the home is, yeah, honey, whatever you think. You know, yeah, I guess we just go to church because that's kind of what we're supposed to do. And it's a big deal to my wife. That's not leadership. No. That's not vision. That's not goals. That's not you being the man of the home. That is you being the boy in the home and mom is taking me to church. She's your wife. You're taking the family to church. You're the one leading the entire drive there. Like, you're the one driving them to church physically. You're also the one driving them to church spiritually and helping your family understand the importance of getting to church, the importance of having a relationship with God, of walking with God every single day. If you're not driving that, if it's like, well, my parents used to believe this. Okay, well, what do you believe? What conclusions did you come to? Have you studied that? Are you listening to podcasts? Are you reading books? Or is it only when your wife slips the book onto the nightstand that you finally decide, yeah, I guess this matters to her, I need to. Take the leadership in the home. A man is somebody who understands these things do matter. You can't just skirt out of it of, oh, it doesn't really matter to me. It does matter. Your kids' souls are dependent on it. Your wife's soul is depending on you leading, and so is yours. So the buck will stop with you. It's really important that you don't have the faith of your parents. You don't have the faith of your wife. You have the faith of yourself, of your own. And you're able to impart that faith that you have down to them, down to your kids and down to your wife, and so you can help lead them spiritually.
Yeah. All right, Joe, let's get into what being the man of the house looks like, and you can probably imagine it's basically the opposite of everything we just said, right?
Well, that was fast, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll talk to you next week. No, we're not going to go 25 more minutes on just like we did.
We'll go through this fast.
But it's because in a lot of ways it is the opposite of what we just described. But the first one that we've got on here of what is being the man of the house actually look like, you take ownership of what happens in your home.
Yeah.
Man, this is a horse that I've just beaten to death time and time again over the last year. Read, you know, the Jocko Willink book, and so I've talked about it a lot. Ownership is so key. You can't be looking around like, all right, whose fault is it? No, man, it's yours. You're the dad. You're the husband. For the stuff that happens in your home, if your teenage daughter ends up sleeping with her boyfriend, that ain't on, I mean, it is on her ultimately, as far as, you know, in the eyes of God. It's on you. You don't get to look around and go, man, you know, the boyfriend, or, oh my goodness, I just can't believe. No, man, it's on you. If your son goes out and does the same thing, or if your son goes out and breaks the law and you have to bail him out of jail, you got no one to blame but yourself. And so we are living in such a lack of ownership society. Take ownership of what happens in your home on a much smaller scale. Again, if you look around and you're like, man, my house is not, we're not a very productive household. Again, we're lazy, or, you know, man, we are still in debt and can't get out of it, or all kind of examples you could give, I suppose. Take ownership of that. You're not somebody I've got on here, Joe. You don't let life happen to you.
Right.
You don't just kind of wake up and, ah, man, whatever comes my way. No, you are taking ownership. I'm such a believer in the idea of extreme ownership. Don't look for somebody to blame. Don't look for an excuse. Don't look for the next person down the line that you can just kind of deflect and pass the buck to. No, it stops with you. This ownership one is so, I'm glad you had this one first. This one's so important.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, exactly. You said buck stops with you. So you're going to be taking ownership either in front of God one day, or you better take ownership now. And
ownership's, man, a good thing.
I was going to say, I was about to say, authority flows to those who take responsibility. When you take responsibility for the home, you take ownership within the home, that is worthy of respect. Ownership will flow to you because it's like, hey, I'm in charge. You know, it's when the manager shows up and it's like, hey, dad's home type of thing. Thank goodness, you know, because the manager comes in and I don't care if everything's hitting the fan. I've got this. Let's figure it out. Yeah, we're good. And everybody goes, okay, he's here. He's largely in charge. He knows what's going on. When you're plugged into the home and you're taking ownership and you know what's happening in your home, that is, peace goes throughout the home because the kids realize dad's in charge. He knows what he's doing. And the wife realizes he's in charge. He knows what he's doing. And we begin to trust that. And so
there's an honor. I should have said that. It's not all about taking the blame. It's also, there's honor that comes your way.
Correct.
When you fully took ownership and it works out well.
And I love when the family can go, dad's got this one. Like, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want my family going, is he showing up? Does he have this?
Is he going to come through? Right.
Starts with ownership. Next thing we have on here is, you're not afraid of your wife. You're not afraid of others. You know, you think about being out in the real world, and you may have some jerks. You may have guys at work. You may have guys at church. You may have guys that you run across, even in-laws or your own parents. Are you able to stand up to them? Are you able to stand up to your wife? Are you able to stand up to them and to be a man in that moment? Because there still is this, like, man, I might get in trouble. What if I say this? What if I say that? What if they don't like me? Anytime where you play that through your mind, if you go, that's what a boy would say.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good indication that the man here needs to step up. The adult side of Joe, the man side of Joe needs to step up and not be afraid of that. And that's where the vision is going to come from. That's the vision that you can have for your kids, that you can have for your wife. Which is number three, have this vision for the future, have this vision for them, and be able to say, this is where we're going. And that comes from, no matter what happens, the difficulties of life, if somebody has a problem with me, if my wife has a problem, I'm willing to take that on because we're casting a vision that's bigger than all of this, that I'm not going to get bogged down by, hey, this person doesn't like me, or this person has something mean to say, or whatever it may be. We take those into consideration, but it doesn't lose sight of the ultimate goal of where we're going. And so, yeah, number three, in terms of what it looks like to be a man, you have the vision for your kids, you have the vision for your wife and for your future.
The man of the house has vision. I mean, We've got on here, you spiritually lead, you academically lead, you know how well your kids are doing in school, you're hopefully homeschooling them, of course, but you know, what is their intellectual capacity, are they applying themselves, are they pushing themselves, can they carry on a conversation about something deeper than, you know, the latest Marvel movie? Like, you need to lead in that. You don't need to just kind of, you know, oh, honey, how are they doing? Like, be very plugged in and lead in that. Again, take ownership of that. The other thing I put on here is physically leading. One of the things that me and my wife have always been passionate about is our kids are young. We want them to be incredibly active and, dare I say, athletic, like fit, I guess is a better word. Like,
yep.
Be able to, you know, just go out and run around and just not, frankly, to not be overweight, right, when they get older. You got to lead in that. That just doesn't magically happen by osmosis. You have to lead in that. And you might say, well, that's a weird goal to have. No, I mean, I want my kids to be active. I want them to be fit. I want them to be able, I want my boys to be strong. I want my girls to at least be active and fit. And you got to lead in that. Yeah. Like, again, this is something, any goal you want, if you want your kids to be musically talented, obviously, hopefully, you want your kids to be very spiritually minded. You've got to lead. That does not just happen by accident. I suppose maybe for some people, you know, they get around the right mentor or whatever and it might happen. But ultimately, that's going to be driven by the father. It's going to be driven by the man. And so this is, again, all related to this idea of vision. Have a vision of what you want your kids to be. Again, spiritually first and foremost. But even after that, again. And then push them towards that. Lead them towards that. And that's how you'll get there.
Yeah. Next, we have willingly step up and willingly help out while still calling your wife to that higher standard. What we mean by this is it kind of goes back to your point of be present in the home, have a pulse on what's going on in the home, have a pulse on what's going on with your kids, what's going on with your wife, where you might be able to step in and help out. Because there's a difference between coming home and doing all of the chores for your wife day after day after day because she's not doing anything versus coming home and seeing, man, my wife has been working her tail off all day. She needs me to step in and help with X, Y, Z. Yeah. That's what I'm here for, is just... That's what the home needs in this moment. If the home is always falling apart and you know she's a stay-at-home mom and nothing's getting done, then what needs to happen in this moment is a complete change and overhaul of structure. What is going on? And you call her to account and you say, hey, I've been gone all day. I was at work for the last 9 straight hours. What's gotten done? That's not an easy conversation. That's not one that's going to go well.
Have you ever had that conversation before, Joe?
Only a couple times. We hardly ever.
Been a long time, I'm sure.
I was gonna say we have hardly ever had to have that conversation. Probably in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
First 5-4 years, whatever, of marriage. We had that conversation. We had that conversation a lot.
I just know,
and I say
you
that
had to have the conversation.
Correct. And I say that from personal experience. It is not an easy conversation to have. Yeah. And no, it does not always go well. It is necessary though. It is necessary.
Sure, yeah.
Because the whole point is I'm willing to help out where possible because I know the needs of the home. And right now, what the home needs is for me to call you out and say, what is going on and how can we help you meet that higher standard? You're right. Calling your wife to the higher standard. That's the need.
How many hours of screen time did you get today?
Correct. You were on Instagram for 6 hours, and my wife is, again, great at this, but you're on Instagram for 6 hours and nothing's cooked, nothing's clean, nothing's done. Like, essentially, her job is to manage the home, not to be on Instagram.
Right.
And if I was on Instagram 6 hours of work and came home with a $20 paycheck, it'd be like, hey, what's going on?
Right,
you know?
Exactly. All right, so Joe, we got to wrap up soon.
Yeah.
I want you to get to this fifth one that you have on here. It's an interesting concept that we have talked about before. I don't know. I'm sure you mentioned on the podcast before, but we've never really delved into it. So this is the fifth aspect of what being man of the house
looks
like.
Trying to determine if I want to put a full episode on this one.
Okay, we can. It might be a good idea, actually, for us to audible and do a full episode on this.
Yeah, I think there may be enough for a shorter episode. I'll call it passing the test. And let's audible. Let's do a shorter episode. Next episode, maybe. We're 34 minutes in. Next episode, I think we can hit that.
Get to the last one, then.
Last one is being driven and motivated to strive for greatness. Obviously, our hallmark. Couldn't hardly get that
our
out.
Our hallmark,
Our hallmark as a man. I tell you what.
Our hallmark.
It's been a long day.
That's right.
But strive for greatness. That's our motto. Can I just say that? Our slogan, whatever you want to say. Strive for greatness. And you're driven and motivated to do exactly that within the home. So when you think about what a man looks like, once again, you have a pulse on things, you have the vision for it, but you're motivated by this idea of like, we can be great. Yeah, you know, I don't care, it's good enough. No, we can be great. And if I can be great, why would I not strive for greatness? If it's like, well, we're okay, you know, there's a time for rest and relaxation. We've talked about that plenty on the podcast. Of it doesn't always have to be go, 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 go.
Nonstop, yeah.
Generally speaking, though, if you are the type of man in your home that's like, it's good enough. It's good enough. It's good enough. My kid passed the test. You know, we got a D or we got a C, but at least he passed. Like, why are you not striving for greatness? Why do you not have the expectation for yourself and for those in the home to think that you can reach excellence? Because that's, to me, what a man really comes in is a man is striving for greatness. He's striving for excellence in everything that he does as much as he can. And if you can pass that down to the home, man, your kids are going to be world beaters.
The last thing I'll say, John, I don't know if you want to get into everything, get on the bottom there since we're so far into the episode already.
Very briefly, we already talked about
something. Yeah, sounds good. Here's what I'll say. When you're married, when you have kids, your home can be such an oasis, like such a just a wonderful place to come home to. You have to put in the work to again, your wife is the homemaker. You have to lead your family to the point where that is the result, to where you come home. And again, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody has walked into a home before, somebody else's home, maybe a family member's, whatever. And he's like, there's like a coldness here. It doesn't feel like a home. There's a, again, coldness is the best word I can use, as opposed to walking into a home. It's like, there's a warmness. This feels like a home, right? It's cozy. It's, and I know all that can kind of be a little bit subjective, but again, you know what I'm talking about. Yep. And that can be just, that is an incredible thing that, you know, not to speak for Joe, that both and I, both him and I are blessed with, to be able to come home to that every single day. It's a blessing, but you got to make sure that you get your family to that point, is or get your family to that point, is what we're trying to say. And if you are not the man of the house, if you're the boy of the house and let other people, let your wife, kids, whatever, it's just not going to be everything that it's supposed to be according to the way God designed it. And so it can be a blessing. There's work to get it there, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That is a great way to wrap. Here's what I'll say.
You have like five more points on here.
Very briefly. Here's what to do about it. Let's say you're struggling. Here's what to do about it. You most likely, as we talked about earlier, have father wounds or mother wounds, you know, the devouring mother, as we talk about. But you most likely have father wounds that need to be addressed. They need to be healed. They need to be worked through as much as possible. If you have a very negative relationship with your dad, or even if you say, well, no, my relationship is great, but you're afraid of your dad, you're afraid. I respect my dad. Yes, there's a part of me that's afraid of my dad. But at the same time, I'm a man. And I recognize that if my dad and I had a tiff, I could stand for myself. And that's an empowering thought. And so if you do have that and you're really afraid of, man, I could never tell him that. You need to work through that. You need to process through that. You can do that in a couple different ways. You can do that through journaling. You can do that through writing a letter, even through going and you know, there's things called empty chair in therapy. And so I know there's things you could do, which would be just addressing your dad in the empty chair or your parent in the empty chair, you know, kind of put them there and speak as though they're there. Even addressing them and just getting some of those things out. You need to process through those. And I think you also need to be able to identify what is success, what is failure. And if you can define those things in your life and figure out, what do I want to pursue? Not for what my parents or for my wife or anybody else. Can I define what I see these things as? What is success to me? Where did I get that concept and what can I do about it? And the last thing I'll say is be willing. Hold on.
Out of order here.
Be willing to address the wounds, but find your sense of self. Not in what you do, but who you are. Find your sense of self in who you are, not in just what you do, because it's easy to find your sense of worth and value and like
accomplishments,
maybe, yeah. You know, the money that you make, bringing home the bacon type of thing. You have to be able to find it in who am I as a man and what are the intangibles. I work really hard. I am, you know, a good relationship with God. I'm a godly man doing the right thing. I'm a kind guy. You know, I'm a good friend. Those are intangibles that can't be taken away from you. That can't be, you know, if you lose your job, you're still a hard worker. You're still somebody who's faithful to his wife. Those type of things. Find your sense of self in that. And recognize that you belong in your home and you matter. You are incredibly, incredibly important to the working of the home. You got to give that to yourself and truly believe that on the inside.
That's great. I would just say look forward to being the man of the house. I mean, it's a great thing. A lot of responsibility, but a lot of hopefully honor and respect due as well. And so we've gone way over time. We'll wrap right there. Let us know your thoughts as always. Like, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Joe, anything to add before we get out of here?
I don't think so.
Okay, this has been episode 154. 154 of the Godly Men podcast. We will be back next week. Thank you so much for watching and listening.